Good evening. Well, we had a great morning. I had an enjoyable lunch. Feel like a little bit of a siesta. I'm feeling happy. Now, in San Antonio, is it required here? You need to learn Spanish as well. Do a lot of people know Spanish? Tacos. I love it. I love it. You know, and I love tacos for sure. Yes. Well, I want to actually open up some of your mind to think a little bit differently today. We've got some really cool stuff to talk about. It's gonna be eye opening. Let's just call it like that. Eye-opening. How many believe that God can speak to them through their hearing? God can speak to you through your hearing. It's part of your nature in Christ. You don't have to have a gift in order to hear the voice of God because it's relational. And it is part of your DNA. Now you're a new believer in Christ. You have, or new creation in Christ. You are wired to hear God's voice. And it's really an amazing thing, you know, and we think about it. If you're in a relationship with someone and, you know, someone's trying to talk to you and you respond to them, they're sharing their heart, pouring out their heart, and then you just respond, "I'm sorry," you know, and their person's like, it's like you're not paying attention. It's like you're not listening. I don't feel like we're connecting. And your response, "It's just not my gift." It's funny how we do that with so many things that are actually part of our nature. And we think about, you know, we make excuses. Gifting has really become more of an excuse rather than an empowerment. And sort of has backfired on us within our own culture. We think about gifting as, "Oh, they're gifted. I'm not gifted. That's a gift. Oh my gosh, so gifted." And it really messes with our minds. It messes with really what we can do. You know, David, it's funny to watch David, look at David's life. He wasn't really the most gifted individual. In fact, he didn't walk in miracles. Miracles were not part of David's life. Yet he is mentioned as probably the most prominent leader figure in all of kingdom history. And so we get to watch through the life of David, how much passion and relationship and just this devotion really leads you to some greater experiences in the kingdom, experiences in God. And it's funny, though, how we do the same thing, you know, with our eyes. We think we can hear God's voice, all of us, but very few of us can see what it is that he's up to. And my passion in this season of life is really to help seers develop their seer nature. And I call it nature because, you know, I have some friends that will often ask me in interviews or places I've been, you know, and they'll say, "Tell us about the seer gift." And I'm like, "I don't know what that is. I don't see that in the message, but I do see that we are all wired to see, just as we can all hear God's voice, we can all see what it is that he is up to." And we're going to talk about that today, and having eyes to see hidden abundance around you. There's hidden abundance, hidden in plain sight, things that are hidden in plain sight that you need to have eyes to see, because having eyes to see gives you the ability to peer past what others consider normal and step into what I would call the supernatural, the extraordinary, the abundance that God has all around us. The problem is, in today's world, we don't take advantage of our eyes. We actually think about our eyes as more of a passive activity rather than an assertive activity. There's so many things trying to grab our attention today. If you're going down the streets of Manhattan, it's like signs everywhere. You know, "Get this cologne, get this car." You know, you see all these signs. And today's world, it's the same thing. Everywhere you go, something's trying to grab your attention. And bumper stickers, or, you know, it's funny. I don't know if you think this, but maybe your phone's listening to you. And
you know, you pull up your phone, you're surfing the net, all of a sudden, that zebra costume that you were looking for your kid, you were thinking about for your kid, just for one of their events coming up, a party coming up, it just pops up on your phone. You're like, who's been listening to me? I didn't even research that. That's just crazy. But the things that are happening today is there's so many distractions, and we've sort of lost sight of what we have in our ability to see, to look, and looking has become more of a passive, lazy experience instead of an assertive action that we take about life as we know it. You know, I go to a movie, and I'm a movie guy. I love good movies, and I'm sitting there, and you know, it's funny how you could just kind of check out, and you're just watching, especially the Transformers movies. You're like, it's overload, so many moving parts, and if it's in 3D, you got to deal with a headache. At the same time, you're looking at all the moving parts, and after a while, you're just like, and it's a trance that you fall into, and entertainment sort of keeps us from seeing what's in front of us. Entertainment, someone once said that entertainment means to keep from entering in. And when we're entertained only with what we see, we're not really looking at something for its true value. Now, Jesus, he talked about this with Herod. He says, Herod was looking for him, seeking him out because he knew he could perform cures. And he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Now, we made a lot of talk about the Pharisees, and you don't want to be a Pharisee. I don't want to be a Pharisee. But you could also become like Herod, which he just really simply wanted to see some magic. He wanted to see some tricks. He wanted to see some cures. But he didn't want to see with his heart. He wanted to see and not be transformed. He wanted to be entertained. And because when we minimize what God is doing in our life to just sheer entertainment, we don't enter into transformation. And the transformation is an amazing thing, and it does enter our eye gate first, and because what we look at, what we behold, we become. And as we behold something, as we look at something, we're looking at the glory of God as in a mirror. We're becoming more and more like the glory of God. Glory is the goodness of God. It's all of His goodness. It's the magnificence of God. It's the signature of God. And as we behold Him, we're being transformed into the same image. We're growing. We're evolving. Things are taking place in our heart as we gaze upon Him. But I believe that we think of the gift of seeing as something that's only for the special or the elite. I think it's really part of our new nature. And that's why I call it the seer nature. And I want to help you discover that because if you could see what others don't, you'll have what others won't. And we have this, as 2 Peter tells us this, we have exceedingly precious promises that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, lust is a very interesting phenomenon. Lust doesn't just relate to a man with a woman. That's the kind of typical idea that we have around lust when a man's gawking at a woman on the street or, looking at someone inappropriate. Lust, it's sort of desiring something that does not belong to us. And it's not for us. It's not part of our destiny. It's not part of our purpose. And so lust, it was the first thing that really caught the attention. It distracted the children of God, Adam and Eve, from their divine purpose, from the divine nature that they walked in. And they saw something. It was like that sign as they're walking down the streets of Manhattan. And they go, whoa, look at that apple. Now, I've never looked at an apple and been like, man, that is sexy. I need to eat that apple. You know, I've never been in a moment where, with my kids, like, who wants to, I never had them fight over an apple. You know, put a Snickers bar down, we got to fight. You know, put it's the Hunger Games if we got a Snickers bar on the table. You know, but if it's an apple, no way. But for some reason, this fruit, whether it was that or something else, was so desirable, and it was tempting, seducing to the eyes. And it grabbed their attention, and they came out of an assertive place, making choices with their gaze, into a passive place, like they were drawn in, like they were zombies. I must eat this. And this confusion, this dazed confusion set in over them. And then they ate from that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and corruption set in. And that's how it all happened. They ate from this tree and corruption set in. All of a sudden, everything starts spinning into chaos. People are, they're trying to figure out where their clothes are. You know, people are, they're looking at each other. I mean, strife is setting in that moment. Fear, loneliness, abandonment. Where are we? And God comes and says, where are you? Where are you? And he's looking for them in the garden. But there's an escape. And he says, we have these precious promises that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we have promises and we have divine nature. Something happens just like it happened with the tree of the knowledge, good and evil. Fallen nature awakened. Fallen nature was imparted. And now they ate from that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they were separated from something. It says that they were separated from the tree of life. And we have to really think about this. It was the goodness of God that they were separated from the tree of life. Even though it seemed like the most terrible punishment, but God says, I don't want them to live forever in the state that they're in. It's going to be misery. It's going to be lonely. They're going to have to work by the sweat of their brow. She's going to like hate him for it. They're going to eat from that tree of life and live isolated in that state of separation. They cannot touch the glory in that state. And so God separates them in his goodness, but he makes a way back. He makes a way back through the tree that Jesus hung on. And then he gives to us the precious promises that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature. So now we have promises that are here. They're outside of us. We're grabbing for them. We're looking at them. We're going, I see it. I see it in a mirror. I see it dimly. It's out there. I need to grab a hold of it. There's something for me. I know it. But it hasn't taken up residence in your heart. It hasn't become divine nature. Because a promise is something outside of you. Nature is within. And when you get a hold of the promise that has been prophesied over you, has been spoken over your life, has been declared over you, and it takes up residence in you, no longer do you need the promise. You act out of nature, that it's now a part of you. You don't have to question whether it's going to the goodness of God's going to manifest or you're going to overcome, because now you have awakened that nature piece inside of you. And that which was on paper before, that which was written down before, now has become a part of your being. And you start to walk in a different way. And you start to think differently because your nature is being transformed. I'm seeing this more and more in life today, that there's an awakening going on in God's people. There's an awakening going on in the world today. There's an awakening going on in pop culture. We're in a time of awakening. And some are still sleeping. They're not, you know, some people wake up differently. Do you know what I mean? Some people wake up, they wake up it's a good day, I'm ready. You know, other people wake up violently, you know, and they're like, oh! And they're ready to wake up. They're ready for the day, right? Other people, You know, you're a zombie until 12. You know, the only thing that's keeping you floating is the amount of coffee in your digestive system. And then all of a sudden you start, something wakes you up, right? There's an awakening going on. You know, so many of the taglines today, so many of the cultural sayings today is about being awakened, staying woke. You know, people want this. People want this. And, you know, it's interesting on the other side of things, what's more popular in pop culture than ever before is zombies. Zombies are interesting. You ever think about this? Why, you know, people, kids, adults, you know, and it love zombies. Zombies, they live forever. It's that state that he says, I don't want them to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or the tree of of life right now, because all they're going to be is zombies. Zombies, the glazed over, not present, not awakened, not in reality, not in touch with their own heart, not in touch with their neighbor, not in touch with their family, not in touch, you know, numb. Numb. And numbness has set in to people, especially the body of Christ, and a lot of it we actually consider very spiritual when it's nothing more than just fake, artificial, plastic, nothing real, and people don't feel anymore and sugarcoat it with praise the Lord. You know, how you doing? Praise the Lord. I'm doing good. I'm praising God. God is good. Praise Him. Oh, He's good. Praise Him. And you get I pastored for 6 years, senior pastored, and I saw everything. And I would go out to the parking lot, the same people, praise the Lord, Pastor, praise God. Got my beautiful family. Wife doesn't talk. Praise God. You know, I get certain parts of me get alarmed when kids aren't misbehaving. That's just me. I just go, are your kids being kids? You know, you might fault me for that. You might throw a stone at me, but I'm just going, look, I get it. Like, but man, I want my kid, I want him to be like a David. I want him to slay Goliath. I want him to wrestle his brothers a little bit. You know, I want my daughter to karate chop me and feel like, yeah, I did that, Dad. You know, I that's me. Yeah, the kids, you know, they're all, praise the Lord, Pastor. You know. And then you get out to the parking lot, and they're strapping their family in. They're like, get in the seat! I said, get in the seat! You tap on their shoulder. How you do? Praise God. Praise Him. So good. Right, guys? You know, we're raising champions, and the champions we're raising are dread champions. You know, they're not going to be perfect. They're going to be dread champions. They're going to have a heart after God and make mistakes and mess up and get upset and frustrated because we're working on their nature. We're working on their nature. You see this? And so I believe God wants to begin to give us eyes to see. He wants to give us ears to hear. But there's some things that need to be handled in our heart, because it's the eyes of the heart that really we see from. As we spoke about yesterday, as a man thinks in his heart, not thinks in his brain. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It's not just what you think about or you've read and you can recite. We're in a copy and paste culture. We can retweet everything. We can repost, retweet, think we know it. But it's so far from real knowledge. It's just the kind of knowledge that lasts long enough to get us through our moment, get us through our day. But it's not the kind that can sustain us for a lifetime. And yet the true knowledge that He wants to give us it's the knowledge that leads us to wisdom, a greater degree of wisdom. The wisdom that is from above, first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. As it says, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy. This wisdom that God wants to, I believe we need wisdom more than ever. The wisdom as to know what to do. We got a lot of different ideas, but do we know how to execute those ideas? We got a lot of different things that we've thought, man, somebody asked me the other day, oh, do you know what your call is? My wife and I were in Nashville, Tennessee. We've been there for a year. My wife grew up there. It's a home to us, and we feel this is a place that we're going to live. You know, we've been around different places, Philadelphia, South Carolina, and just all over the place. I grew up in Missouri, but Nashville's our home. And somebody, what's your call? What is your call here? And I'm like, I don't even know what that is anymore. I just know I love people and I like to help. You know, and when we think about the call, it's more about us than really getting out and touching others. You know, my call is probably helping other people find their call. You know, and helping other people discover the goodness inside of them. And I said, I don't really even have that language anymore. That's not my language, because the Bible, you know, we think about it, it's really about God's call. God has a call. He has a wonderful, huge call. His call is to inherit the nations, call is to inherit the cosmos, and all the fame goes to Jesus. And so we have to come back to that. There's a cosmic destiny, and that who is that? That's God. So we're playing a big role in that. And however I can chip in, I'm like, let me get in the game. I want to play. I love it. But we've got to up our artillery. We've got to up our skill set. We've got to up our abilities. Because we might be playing with yesterday's tools in a modern game that we don't really understand. And it's, you know, remember that time when you were touched by the Holy Spirit and you fell out under the power of God, oh, and you shook. But nowadays we're like, where? I don't feel the same thing. It's not, is God moving today? Like, and we're praying for this almost I want a redo over that, God. Like, we want another one of those. I don't really think that it's that we're not feeling his presence. I think we just acclimated to the water level. You know, we're starting to get more and more, and not used to, but relationally calibrated with the goodness of God. It used to be someone, you know, says, you know, someone here has got a headache, and everybody's like, they must be prophetic. Now, it's like, unless you call out a social security number, you know, VIN number on their car, you know, then they're like, I don't know, that was a word from God. Who's that? I mean, I'm poking fun at some of the things that we hold so dear, but really it's about helping people. It's about helping people. It's about getting out there and touching the world around us. And we're going to have a different set of eyes. I want to show you something today that is going to give you eyes of abundance. Eyes of abundance. There's a different set of eyes that God wants to give you, eyes of abundance, because a lot of us, we're stuck in looking at the world through a lens of lack. But when we have abundance within us, the divine nature has awakened. We then view the world. It says to the pure, all things are pure. You're starting to see the world from a different lens. From a different lens. Man, there was a time where I was starting to really get into some conspiracy theory. And there are a lot of YouTube prophets today, conspiracy theorists. Oh my goodness. And the fear and the paranoia, you know, I mean, it's not prophetic, it's just paranoia. And, you know, a lot of things that, you got to know about the world order, blah, 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 and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's starting to filter into my behavior. it's starting to filter into the way I do life. I'm living half scared. And it feels like I'm alert, but I'm not awake. And there's a difference. Being alert, you can have a nervous energy and be alert, and it's still just fear. You know, he says, why do you stay up all night as if it's going to produce anything? Don't you know that God is watching over you when you're sleeping? It doesn't yield any good thing. There's a time to stay awake, but there's a time to rest, a time to sleep, and a time to be in a place where, man, God's got this, and I'm going to change my perspective on the things around me. You don't know what you have until it's gone. And when it is gone, that's too late. But I remember telling you this about when I'm fasting, man. I'm fasting, and I don't like to fast. I hate it. But when I'm fasting, it's amazing how much food I have in my refrigerator. I don't even know where it came from. I'm like, I got cheesecake? Oh, my gosh. What's the expiration on that? Put some peanut butter on that. We're going to be good, man. You know, still veggies. And, you know, it's amazing that you have when you're not allowed to have, right? And you start to see abundance. Oh, my gosh. And I feel like there's a key here to really reframe the way we see the world. And you begin to see through the eyes of abundance. The eyes of abundance. I'm going to read some stuff. But, you know, it says this. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. There's some amazing things that happen out of a place of belief. There's two experiences we have in Christ. We have belief and belonging. Belief is that place of faith that God is good in the world. He's in command, and he's going to overcome. Everything works out for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so we're walking out this destiny. And belonging is that I am in the inner circle. I am in the inside of everything, right? And this place of security, man, that my steps are ordered by the Lord. The Lord started speaking to me earlier in last year. He says, son, you think you're a disappointment. I don't think you're a disappointment. I think you're a divine appointment. And from that place, I started living out a divine appointment where my steps are ordered by the Lord, where I know things are in my way. Like, as I go, I'm paying attention. And I'm not just living on accident. I'm living with intention that God is good and that things are coming to me. That I'm, you know, the law of attraction is so interesting. And I don't believe that it's all about that. But there's something there that's been stolen from us, and we think, oh, that's all just, you know, for them. No, it's not, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And when divine nature hits you, you start beginning to attract good things to you. You know, it's interesting how many people came to Jesus. They found him in the wilderness. I mean, talk about, this is not an exciting, you know, resort location. We spice things up, you know, when we have our events and whatever. We're like, come on. And yet they found John the Baptist, right? And he's washing, baptizing in the Jordan. This is a muddy Jordan. You know, but there's something that was on them. There was an X factor, the charisma of God. And you have that. You have that. But you know how to manifest that? Do you know how to turn it on? God wants to turn it on in your life because there's an attractive quality that you have. It's so attractive that people, I believe, are gonna find you. As it says, that there's gonna come a point where 12 people are gonna grab your arm and go, take me to where you are, because I heard God's with you. I heard God's with you. That's a pretty cool thing. That's a pretty cool thing. But I realize our steps are ordered by the Lord, and I'm looking for abundance around me because I have eyes to see. My son, the other day we were at out shopping. Mommy was shopping, and we're outside, kind of waiting on my daughter, my wife. They're in the store. My son, he's 5, and so he's outside. There's a gumball machine in the mall, and we're looking. And he's like, "I want a gumball! I want a gumball!" And I'm like, "Okay, buddy." He's like, "I need a quarter, Dad. I need a quarter. You have a quarter?" I said, "Not on me. I don't have a quarter. But guess what? We're going to go into this store, and there's going to be money on the floor." He's like, "What?" I was like, "Come on, let's go." And so we walk into the store, and we're like, "Come on, it's over here somewhere. Somewhere, it's over here. Look for it, look." And we're looking around, and there it is, $1. Right on the floor. I was like, "Yeah, there it is. That's what I was talking about, bro." So he picks it. He's like, "I got it." I was like, "That's 4 gumballs." He's like, "Oh, I got $1. Oh, my gosh." He's so happy, you know. But what you look for, you will find. What you look for, what you focus on, you're going to connect with. And are you positioning your heart to connect to abundance? Are you positioning your heart to connect to greatness? Are you positioning your heart to connect to the purposes of God? Are you positioning your heart? Do you wake up awake? Do you wake up like, "Man, God's got my day. I'm gonna look for the divine appointments all around me. I'm going to be curious." Because curiosity leads you to something. You start being curious. You just pay attention. What happens, though, is we get sucked into these. We start looking at the phone, and we're all day long, we're looking at other people's lives. You heard about OPM? This is OPL. You know, other people's money, OPM, OPL, other people's lives. We're like, "What? They're eating sushi? Oh, my goodness. I love that sushi. They're at that worship event? Oh my gosh, I love that band. Why am I not there?" And you're not there because you're where you are. But do you know how to be where you are? Do you know how to be where you are? This is a big question. You might want to write this down. Do I know how to be where I'm at? Because when you know how to be where you're at, you'll know how to be where you're going. If you can be content and be long in the season, in the moment that you're at, fully locked in, fully, "I know how to be here. I know how to be awake right now. I know how to be where I'm at." Something begins to happen to you. You start to identify the divine appointments. You start to identify, you know, because you're looking. I want you to experiment over the next 24 hours. I'm going to put this to you as a challenge. I want you to look for abundance that's hidden in plain sight. You know, I have a buddy. He and his wife, their child, he was saying to his mommy, "Mommy, I'm going to get a diamond." And she's like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm going to get a diamond. I believe I'm going to get a diamond. God's going to give me a diamond." And he's like, she's like, "What? What are you talking about?" He's like, "I'm going to find one. Watch, mommy." And he was telling this to her for like weeks. "I'm going to get a diamond. I'm going to get a diamond." They're coming out of Walmart one day. Little something in the crack of the concrete. Sparkling. He looks at it. He goes, "There it is, mommy. It's my diamond." She's like, "No, it's not a diamond." "Yeah, it is, mommy. Look at it." She picks it up. He picks it up. They're looking at it. He's like, "Man, that's something weird. I don't know. What is this?" And so he goes in. He's like, "It's my diamond, mommy. I told you I was going to get a diamond." And so they go to, they get in the car. They put the diamond up on the front of their dash. And this thing is rolling around the dash. It's like rolling around the dash, little rock on the dash. And she's going, "It's cubic zirconium, you know," and she's laughing about it. He's like, "It's a diamond, mommy. I got a diamond." And so days go by, weeks go by, and she realizes, "I need to take this to the gemologist. I'm going to go to the jewelry shop." So she takes it with her son to the gemologist, and she's trying to set him up for disappointment, right? And she's like, "Look, we're going to just check it out. I just want to make sure you understand It's not a big deal, you know. And so all of a sudden, the gemologist, she says, look, we're going to put this underneath this ray, this sort of thing that you examine the rock. If it beeps, then we'll know it's a diamond. If it doesn't, it's not a diamond. Just so you know, and I don't know what this is. It doesn't look like, and then beep, and it goes off. And he's like, I got my diamond, mommy. I got my diamond. See, he so believed in his heart. He had something in his heart that God put in his heart. And he was determined to connect with it. Determined to connect with it. Do you know what you have in your heart? Are you so in touch with your heart? Or are you distracted by other people? You distracted by the things that other people are going after. There's a lot of things to go after today. There's a lot of, you know, what's popular, what's this, what's that. And you start to get lost in it. But what is it that's burning in you? There's this phenomena that happens, and I believe Jesus, when he spoke about it, the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of Herod, it's a blindness that comes upon us and keeps us from identifying what God is providing for us, that we should have eyes to see. It's sort of like, I didn't realize that was that person. I'm meaning to talk to that person. You see them out in public and you miss the opportunity because you weren't present enough. Or maybe you get a little hunch from something, from God, from the Holy Spirit, about, like, you know, a little stock tip. I remember years ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I had bought into this company. The company was doing well. And financially, I bought into this company, bought some shares, and I have this dream. And the dream that night is tomorrow, the CEO will be announced as sick, dying. The shares will go down. But don't worry, the shares will go right back up. And so the next day, I'm like, man, I put a lot into this. The next day, it just is in my dream. And I'm sweating it. I'm like, ah, God, come on. Thank you, Lord. But I'm going to believe. And it went down for a day, and it went right back, and it went down by something like 20% in one day. And then it went right back up to where it was the day before at the same. And when it did, I freaked out, I got scared, and I sold it. Unfortunately, I missed a fortune because when I sold it, I didn't think that there was more to this story, that God was saying, look, it's going to go not just up, it's going to go way back up. And I'm kicking myself. But those opportunities, it's not like they're only once in a lifetime. God is giving you practice runs. He's giving you little moments of failure so that when you get to the big moment, that you know how to seize it. You know how to take advantage of it. We're coming into a time where we can see the abundance around us. Do you see it? Are you looking for it? Are you looking? Because there's opportunity all around you, God's opportunity, golden opportunities that God is providing for you to touch people, to heal people, to bring life to people, to reach out and bring freedom to people. People come out of nowhere, share their heart with you. Are you going to take advantage of that moment? Not of that person, but of the moment. And step into the moment and say, man. But sometimes what we do is we go, God, send somebody. This person's really hurting. Send somebody. And he's like, I sent you. And you're like, oh, God, if that's you. Lord, just wet my sweater. I'm going to put my sweater out. Wet my North Face sweater, Lord. Lord, if that's, just open the door.
Now close the door.
We have all of it. God, you know, whenever we hear something moving in us, a word, a whisper, the Holy Spirit speaking, it's, and him saying to do something awesome, it definitely is God. It definitely is the Lord. He's trying to impress upon you, there's something awesome in you, and you're going to step into it. This is the time to step into the awesome. And you have permission. So much of the gospel has been sort of the narrative of the gospel has been about forgiveness, but it's really more than that. It's permission. Permission to be awesome. Permission to look for us. Lord, is it your will? How many ever dealt with this? I've got 5 different dreams speaking to me about doing 5 different things. Which one do I do? As if your life is only meant to do one of those 5. I believe we're in a generation where our kids are going to so far surpass us in the ability to do multiple things at one time. They can multitask like nobody else, like crazy. And there's such an ability to multitask on their life. My daughter, I don't know if your kids are like this, but they're like watching a movie on the TV, playing their iPad, running an Etsy bits business, you know, creating slime. I'm like, pick a favorite right now. I mean, do something, one thing. And they're like, I got to do it all. And they're not lagging behind on any of it. And this ability to do multiple things at one time, we've come out of a factory age where you kind of do one monotonous thing over and over all day. Now we're starting to increase our brain capacity to handle so many more things. And I believe we're going to come into a time, even our kids, we're going to start to see, I think this is a real prophecy, that we're going to start to see kids that have not, they're not just right-handed or left-handed, they're both-handed. And they're an ability to move and do things with both sides of their brain and act in certain ways that we've seen with certain gifted people, but because of the times we're in, they're going to come up in a culture where it's celebrated to live in their highest potential. It used to be when kids aspire to be in the highest potential, parents were threatened by it. We're not those parents. Parents were threatened by that. You think you're tough stuff? You know, you have no idea. I walked uphill both ways in the snow, barefoot. You think you, man, my kids, I look at them, I'm like, baby, what do you want to be? My daughter's like, I want to be a rock star and I want to be a teacher. And I'm like, yes. Those are awesome, you know. My son, he wants to be a dog trainer, and he wants to be a doctor. You know, I'm like, yes, that's amazing. You could do both, man. You could do it all. There's so much more to you. Increase your capacity. Increase, and when your divine nature connects with the promises of God, all of a sudden now it's no longer just something out there. You start to believe that things are possible. Come on. Come on. Jesus had an awareness that I believe so few of us realize. I don't realize. I just sit there and go marvel at all the amazing things that he was able to do in a span of 3.5 years. We're talking about, it says, if everything was written that he had done, this, I suppose even all the books in the world could not contain it. We know the certain stories that were highlighted, but there's so much more that he did. Come on, isn't this good? So he says this, Proverbs 16:3, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Your thoughts will be established. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What are your thoughts? Are you guarding your thoughts, the thoughts of your heart? It says, take every thought captive. It means not just the bad ones, but the good ones. There are things that you're thinking that are not just good thoughts, they're God thoughts. You're thinking, man, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Don't let that thing go. Grab a hold of that. That's a God idea. You grab a hold of that, man, that could be an opportunity to employ hundreds of people. We have all these ideas, God ideas. I'm sitting on some God ideas right now. And when you start letting that theme form in you, and God ideas begin to manifest, begin to fester, something happens in that process. You start talking about it. It gets on your mouth, gets in your words, and you start talking about it, and you got to process it. First few people you process with are going to look at you like you're crazy. You're like, it's big, it's massive, lots of people are there. They're like, what is it? You're like, it's good. And you're trying to figure it out. You're trying to pair the words with the idea. Trying to find the right words. And then you start believing. You start seeing, come on, there's something about this. This generation has got ideas, more ideas than we know what to do with. I feel like I'm in a house of idea generation, you know, machine. My kids, I'm like, what a business idea do you have today, honey? It's my daughter, 9 years old. She's like, okay, Dad, we're going to get these squishies. We're going to set up a little shop at the mall. I already found a supplier out of China. I'm like, it's awesome. What you think about begins to happen. I was with a friend over in the Middle East. Let me go over there. Opulence is crazy. Money's crazy. We're in one of the richer oil nations. And he comes in. He's kind of like foaming at the mouth about it. And he's like, oh, it's so good. I feel like God's going to, I'm believing for, he tells me, I'm believing for a fake Rolex on this trip. He was reading up on that fake Rolexes are as close to the real thing. And as you could get, especially over there. And he's like, I'm believing for a fake Rolex. And I was like, that's cool, man. Awesome. And he's like, yeah. So days go by. He comes to me. He's got a little box. Looks just like the bought it at a fine jewelry store and a fine jeweler. And he opens up. I go, dude, look. He goes, I know. I am so upset. I go, what? He goes, yeah, I got a fake Rolex. I was like, bro, you just talked to me like 2 days about this. You want this. You've been thinking about it all day long for 2 days. He goes, I know. He goes, and this, I was like, that looks pretty cool. He's like, yeah, it's actually a lot of money. This fake Rolex, they like pay a lot of money for this. And I'm like, dude, that's awesome. I'm celebrating with you, man. He's like, no. I should have believed for the real thing. I should have believed for the... I'm like, you got a point there, man. Dude, I'm really disappointed in you. Man, I'm telling... what? These are all kind of silly examples, small, but there's something so real powerful about this that what you focus on, you're going to connect with. What you give your time to, your attention to, things begin to take place because of your time, your focus, your energy, and what you look at begins to manifest. Come on, are you hearing me?
Yes.
If you're going to go for healing and heal the sick, and you become focused on that, it doesn't matter how many sick people get sicker in your prayers, because eventually you're going to hit the target. And eventually you're going to start healing the sick, and it's going to be one after the other. But if you keep at it, there's something going to take place. There's a shift. It's the moment where the wave crests in your life and the transfer happens. It's the moment where the invisible becomes visible. I you know, when Jesus, he brings his disciples into a moment with him. In Mark 8, I'm going to read that. Jesus manifests food and he multiplies it. He's already got some food, and he multiplies this food. Now, I don't understand how food multiplies. It's just, for me, I've never seen it. I've seen it, but I've not witnessed it. There's a difference. I've tasted of the byproduct of a multiplication of food, but I've never actually watched it happen as it's happening. And if I could, I would take a camera and I would get like 120 frames per second camera and I would slow it down. I would want to see if the chicken gives birth to another chicken or how it happens. Like if one chicken like all of a sudden becomes two, or how this happens. Does anybody think about this? I think about this because I'm like, I want to see multiplication of food on a regular basis, especially sushi. I want to see things multiply in my life. When I have one thing in my possession, it says to whoever has, more will be given. So there's something very interesting about just the principle, the dynamic on a quantum physics level about having something. Whoever has will be given more. And so when I go into prayer with the Lord, whether I have one thing or another, I actually will make mention, I have this. I want you to know I have this. And so I thank you, more will come because I have this. If you want a lot of something, get a little bit of that and then let the Lord know that you have it. Because whoever has, more will be given. You have it in your possession. You have it in a valuable way. You have it in a way that you esteem it. You have it in a way that you take care of it. You care for it. You nurture it. And more will be given to you. And you will have abundance. Come on. This is getting our thinking differently. Huh? Because now we're thinking from divine nature rather than thinking from divine promise. See, we think in divine promise, and we think that that is the fullness. Like, God, and we pray, God, do it. God, do it. God, do it. And he's like, I'm not a genie. I actually want you to be a son, and I want to raise you up as a son and a daughter. I want to raise you up, and I will supply these things, but I want your character to your nature to have a capacity for these things to be drawn to you. Come on, are you hearing me? There's a certain quality. It's an X factor. It's why, you know, some of the top, I think it was the top 10 of the last of the American Idol, when they were doing the American Idol, six of the top 10 were believers. Because there's a star quality on a believer. There's something that comes off of them. There's an attractive quality. And more than ever before, friends of ours, mutual friends of ours, we're watching them. I'm watching them on TV and I'm going, oh my gosh, we always knew you were a star. Things are happening for you. It's crazy. And the world is becoming aware of this. Are you seeing? It's amazing. It's amazing. I just feel, and as you do the inner work, things begin to happen. Because what does it say? He says, according to the power that works in you. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that works in us. When the inner work is done, when we're in the prayer, when we're in the secret place with the Lord in his presence, and we're going, God, I rend my heart to you. My heart, I'm broken inside. I'm hurting. I'm in pain. I'm going to be honest. You're going to love me in my vulnerability, in my shame, in my weakness, in my difficulty, in my tragedy, in my trauma. I'm going to believe you. And then all of a sudden, as that inner work is happening, he's doing exceedingly abundantly out there. He's changing the atmosphere because the internal atmosphere of your DNA is being transformed. You got a weather system on the inside, and when you start to learn how to tap into what's inside of you, you can manifest it outside. That's the entire goal of the believer's life, Christ in you, the hope of glory, to get what is on the inside of you outside of you. He's in you, but he's like beating on the walls of your chest, like, oh, I'm out of here, I can't get out. Because we're trapping him in there. We're like, stay, shh. But when you let him outside of you, something begins to happen. Come on. Something begins to shift. Something begins to change. God. Oh, man. Are you hearing me today? Come on. Turn to your neighbor. Grab their love handles. Tell them they're awesome. There's an awakening happening. Come on. So Jesus, he multiplies the loaves, he multiplies the fish, and he makes them to get in a boat. It says in Mark 8, verse 13, he left them, getting into the boat again, departed the other side. The disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Say one loaf. One loaf. Now, I love bread. Does anybody else love bread? Bread. Bread is the will of God. It is awesome. Bread is amazing. It's one of the most staple parts of life. You go, you sit down, more bread. At the restaurant, more bread, more bread. Because bread, everybody knows bread is awesome. Bread is good. And butter on bread is better. Right? You want to make a meal better? Put some bread out. Right? And you got bread. So they take a loaf of bread with them in the boat. They got the bread. And they're sitting there with that bread. And you have to think about this. At 12 grown disciples. These are interns. And one thing I've known, realized about interns, they eat a lot of food. Take them on the road. I'm like, I'm not paying you. But I will get you food. And they take, they're like, I want four double doubles. I'm like, what did you just do? And they're gonna be hungry because that's what they got there. That's like, it's like the only thing that they got outside of, you know, carrying your bags around. They're carrying Jesus' bags around. They're like, where's the food? We gotta eat some food. And so Jesus has these guys with one loaf of bread. Now, the law of supply and demand, there's a scarcity thing that happens when you have one in the midst of a dozen. Everybody knows where that loaf of bread is. Can you see this? It doesn't matter if they just ate. Because while they're loading all of the gear up on the boat, everybody's got their one eye on that bread. And they're like, I know that, you know, who's got that bread, you know? And they're looking, who's going to hold the bread? Okay, where are they going to put it? I remember as a kid, when we got the special cereal at home, I had two brothers. And all of us knew where that cereal was at every given moment of the day. One box. That thing is going to last less than 24 hours. And they would, one of us, my brother, one of us, he would run down in the middle of the night and take that cereal box and hide it where the Tupperware, you know, remember Tupperware was a big deal? Like entire shelves of Tupperware, hide it way behind the Tupperware. And so the next morning, I go down. I'm like, wake up before everybody else. I'm a firstborn, so I'm like, I got to get it. So I go down there, and I'm looking. I'm looking for the cereal because I know it's here. And I can't find it. I'm like, what the? And I'm looking everywhere. And so I move on, and I get on with my day. I come back, and there's my brother. He's on his fourth bowl. He's like, hey, man, what's going on? I'm like, where did you put that? He's like, no. You know, everyone in that house knew where that cereal was because that cereal was what we looked forward to, right? And you got 12 grown, hungry people looking at one loaf of bread. Now watch what happens. Jesus, he's aware of this. The disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. One loaf. Then he charged them, saying, take heed, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned. Look at that reason. They reason. Reason kicks in. And all of a sudden, out of this reason, they reason among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. No bread. How do they go from one loaf of bread to no loaf of bread? Reason kicks in, and they reason themselves out of abundance. Jesus is aware of their nature, their human nature, and they're hungry. And he's like, guys, let's talk about some bread. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of Herod. And they go, wait, is it because we have no bread? Something shifted in their ability to see the abundance around them. They went from abundance of leftovers to one loaf of bread with them in the boat. Now they have no loaf of bread. Isn't it amazing to us how we can go from a miracle to literally such lack in a matter of minutes because we forgot the magnitude of what God has done? The magnitude. If I was to ask you, when was the last time God did a miracle for you, would you be able to recall it in a matter of a split second? Because you should. There should be this ability to immediately recall the goodness of God in your life at any given second. You should have this automatic, you probably should have a default thing that you go to when the enemy is trying to trick you, get you insecure, and you go, no, I know where my testimony is. I know, I set up a memorial in my mind about it. I set up a foundation in my heart. I know, man, God did this for me, and he's going to do it again. Something happens when you have that memorial in your heart. Your nature changes. You no longer are like, oh, I got to strive for it. I got to believe for it. Now it's just part of your DNA. Now when the thing happens that once was took a massive amount of faith, now you don't even second guess whether it's going to happen. You start to believe all things are possible. Come on. Am I talking to somebody? Something shifts. And so they go from one loaf of bread to no loaf of bread because of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Jesus says, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Do you not remember? When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said 12. Also, when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said 7. He said, how is it you do not understand? He has to remind them of their last level of glory. He has to remind them there was a moment you had only minutes ago, maybe an hour, but you took up leftovers. And now you can't believe for today. You have to take what you've gained in one moment and begin to transcend that moment to the next season of your life, building, compounding, believing, letting that moment turn to momentum. Something shifts, and what we do to ourselves is it escapes us the magnitude of the miracle that God has done for us, and we size our miracle up with somebody else or something else. God, I thank you for the miracle that you're producing in everyone's life here. Lord, and I thank you that there's going to be breakthroughs in this room, healings in this room. I thank you, God, that there's going to be releases in this room, sons and daughters being reunited, reconciliation, hearts being made whole. Father, I thank you that you're releasing an environment of abundance where the heavens pour down rain for us and the earth yields the harvest. Come on, are you hearing this? You're going to come into a place of harvest. You're going to come up to a place of abundance. Some, you need to look at the same thing you've been looking at from a different perspective. You're looking at your business, but you know what? Somebody else is going to come in with a fresh perspective, and they're going to say, that business, I could turn it around. That family, I could turn it around. That situation, I can turn it around. I could, that may not be valued by one person, but I value it. But what if you don't let your inheritance be given to somebody else, but you let God give you a brand new perspective on what you've been given? That gratitude begins to change your situation. Man, gratitude is a powerful, powerful thing. What do you have in your hands? What do you have in your possession that you can begin to thank God for? You can begin to say, man, I thank you, Lord, for this that you've given me. Whew. More. More, Lord. More, Lord. I'm going to challenge you that as you're going out, whether you're going out from here or over the course of this week, that you're looking for abundance. Just like that boy looking for the diamond, I want you to look for the abundance around you. I want you to have eyes to see the bread that's hidden in plain sight. I want you to see the people that God brings you. I remember when I was leading a church for years, I was struggling. I had no help. And the Lord said, lift up your eyes because your breakthrough is in the room. And I saw a guy in the room. I had no idea. And he was, we golfed together. We did things. And the Lord said, that's your breakthrough right there. I said, that guy? He said, yeah. And I said, what do I do? He goes, give him the church. And you tell him to tell you what to do. I was like, that sounds bad. Sounds like a bad idea. He's like, it's what I told you. And so as I did, I said, tell me, can you do this? He said, I got this, man. And when I did that, we almost doubled over a course of a year. Wife swap. We did, you know, nowadays everybody's like, somebody else is going to be better in this situation. No. You need to lift your eyes. Repent of how you see your spouse. Repent of how you see your neighbor. Repent of how you see your kids. Man, you know, so-and-so's kids are so well behaved. Maybe it's time to stop that. Stop that language. Stop that rhetoric in your house. And start praising your kids. Start rewarding them for every good, perfect thing that they do. And when they screw up, man, I'm so proud of you. My kids mess up. I'm like, I cannot punish them. I like them too much. But I know I need to sometimes. But I like them. And I come to my son. I'm like, buddy, you messed up. And he goes, I know, Dad. I'm like, okay, good. I'm proud of you. I love you. Give me a hug. Get it right here. And my kids, I love celebrating. When they're, my kids, they're strategic in their thinking. They're like, hey, Dad, can I have a chocolate cookie? I'm like, yeah. They're like, hey, Dad, if I share with my brother, can I have two chocolate cookies? Did we just enter into a business deal? Come on. Come on. I want to challenge something in your life. It's this idea that I just want to do what I'm told. Jesus said, no one coming in from the field gets praised or thanked by the master. No servant when they just did what they're told to do. Because they're only doing what they were supposed to. And at the end of my life, I want to be able to go, I did exceedingly abundantly. I didn't just do what I was told. I looked for opportunity, God, because you put your nature in me. And I did more. Come on. Are you hearing me? This is thinking differently, guys. This is thinking differently. Because now we're leaving this mindset of, well, I just want to do my call to, no, I'm called to everything, to help in every way. And my skills will come out. My gift will come out. My grace will come out. Come on. Isn't this good? Isn't this good? I want you to pray this prayer with me, guys. And then tonight, we're going to do a lot of ministry for folks tonight. We're going to spend some time doing some ministry. It's going to be mostly a ministry night tonight. But what I want to do right now is I want you to pray this prayer with me. And we're going to pray that every amount of abundance that's been hidden from you would be lifted and revealed, would be set in front of your eyes that you couldn't miss it, that you begin to see the abundance that is hidden in plain sight. Lord, thank you for the abundance that's being revealed all around us in situations. I thank you that you're uncovering the gifts and uncovering the presence that you've put inside of our life. It's a treasure hunt, that you're to look for those treasure. And I ask, Lord, that you would remove the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of Herod that keeps us from seeing the abundance. We thank you that you're removing those things that keep us from seeing. Come on, I want you to just pray like you're praying that, man, you're praying for the abundance to break out today. I'm talking about you have the faith like, I want to see a result of this within an hour. Start praying like that. Pray like that right now. More, Lord. More, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. More, Lord. There it is. More. Let my eyes see. Let my eyes connect with the purposes and plan. Let me see the road that's before me. Let me see every bit of the abundance on that road, Lord. Every divine appointment, everything that's in harvest for me, for my family, for my kids, for my friends, for my relatives, for those that I'm called to touch. Let me acquire those things that I've been called to acquire. Let me possess my possessions. Lord, I thank you that I can grab a hold of that which has grabbed a hold of me. I'm grabbing a hold of that destiny right now. I'm seizing that destiny. I thank you for that destiny now. Now stand up, pray. Let's go to pray for our neighbors. Pray. Put your hand on your neighbors. Begin to thank him. Thank him for the breakthrough, the eyes to see, the ears to hear, the heart of abundance. Open up, open up, open up. Open up. more, Jesus. Open up. I just see that some of you, even now, are going to go home and just take a careful look at what you already have in your life, what God has already provided for you, and begin to thank Him for that. Some I see just walking around your own property and just go, man, thank you for this home. Thank you for this land that I'm in. And then taking a careful observation of your family, looking over your kids, your grandkids, your brothers, your sister, looking at the pictures and just thanking God for them. And as you do, you're going to grow. You're going to grow in abundance. That grateful heart that's lifting you up, that's taking you higher into the presence of God. Thank you, Lord, for this. In Jesus' name. Tonight, I'm going to be signing books after the evening service. And so if you have one, you got one earlier today, go ahead and bring that tonight. I want to sign those for you. But I want to bless you guys to have a little bit of a time to have a good meal. And then 6 o'clock, we're back here again. And we're going to be doing some ministry to individuals here within the room that need breakthrough, that believe in God for breakthrough, and pray for them and see what the Lord wants to say. And so it's going to be good. I bless you guys. Amen.